So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, and welcome to 90 Day Fiancé MK. I'm Mr. O, and today, Ms. H and I will be discussing Season 8, Episode 1 of Happily Ever After. In this episode, Emily and Kobe get packed up for their big trip to Cameroon. Sophie and Rob try to make up in a selfie gallery. Nicole picks out some PJs for Mahmoud. Ashley and Manuel discuss whether or not he's hiding his children from her. And Jasmine and Gino have their honeymoon in Michigan. As always, we'll end with our Students of the Week, class dunces, and life lessons. All right, thanks for listening. Stay safe and enjoy.
Hello, Mr. O.
Hello, Ms. H.
How are you today?
Not too bad on this. I didn't realize this. Today's the equinox. So we got first day of spring, more light than dark. I'm excited for that.
Yes, I am too. I was very excited for daylight saving time, even though, like, you do lose an hour of sleep, but worth it.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the hour of sleep. It's getting up in the dark. But then, like, you know, it's like 8 minutes a day or something like that, that you still gain in light at the beginning of it, at the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
So it's like bad for like a week. I like daylight saving. I just want it to start in April again. That's my goal.
Oh, no, I'm very happy with it in March. All right. So we are covering HEA, new season, same old couples.
Mostly, definitely, literally by definition, all old couples.
Yeah, yeah. Well, some much older than others, I feel like. So,
well, yeah, it was how old. Like, so that we start off with, let's just start where the season, where the episode started. So we begin with a really long reveal. You know, they're doing that thing of whose feet are those?
Oh,
who's
gosh.
Taking a shower? And it's Emily. And she is setting the mood for some, let's say, intimate romance. So Kobe gets home from work and she's waiting for him in the bed with a rose and a robe so they can get in a quickie, hopefully. Unfortunately, doesn't seem to happen for him, because as soon as they start getting started, mom yells from upstairs, is like, dinner is ready. So we're reminded of who these people were, because they were on the show a while ago. I think this is probably our oldest couple that we're going to see again.
Yeah, farther back, yeah.
Yeah, farther back. That's what I meant by oldest, not like most repeat. That is a different couple. So we're reminded that we have Kobe, who is 36, and he's from Cameroon. And he lives with his wife, Emily, who is 31, and they live where she's from in Salina, Kansas.
Salina, yeah.
Where they live with their two children. So Coban and Scarlett are their children's name, and they all still live in her parents' basement. Anyway, all that aside, they all come upstairs for dinner, and they talk about the things they've been up to, leading about, you know, Kobe saying, like, married life is okay, but, you know, there's some tough spots about it when you have to live with her parents, and I can't walk around naked. So,
oh, God, okay. Well, I would hope you wouldn't anyway. You have children.
Not with the children, right?
Right.
And at least, like, I could see, like, underwear or something, right? Just running around
fine.
His boxers
sure.
or something, like, that he wouldn't want to do around, like, kids, sorry, kids, you got to see dad in his boxers. It's different than making your father-in-law do it. So anyway, Emily recounts about how before her son was born, their son was born, I should say, she was a real-world traveler, which is how she met Kobe in the first place. They were both in China. And they hooked up, and she got knocked up. So we remember from last time that they were the visa took a long time. Kobe missed Coben's birth and most of his infancy because it took 2 years to get the visa. And then we also remember a lot of their challenges from last season about how Emily was kind of bossy all the time, you know, telling him the correct way to scoop the poop off of out of the horse barn. But that didn't stop anything except much, because they got married and also got pregnant again during the season. Now, all of that was 2 years ago. So their youngest is two, Scarlett's two. And Kobe now has a green card and a job. So in the middle of dinner, they have to stop and put the kids to bed. And that's when we kind of get an idea of what the storyline, at least for the first part of the season, is going to be.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to go to Cameroon. When I say everybody, I mean everybody. Emily, Kobe, dad, mom, kids, everybody's going to Cameroon. So they're leaving tomorrow, and it's going to be like one of those 25-hour travel days, because you can't get from Salina, Kansas to Douala, Cameroon without taking a bunch of stops in between. And once they're all there, they'll obviously meet Kobe's family. So Kobe kind of gives them a heads up about what they can do while they're there, behaviors to avoid getting caught up in the civil war that's going on.
Oh, God.
And he's like, it's not that bad. It's pretty safe. Just don't go shopping on Sunday, or they'll burn stores down. It was like, oh, my. So he suggests that, also suggests, especially to Emily, that maybe when she meets everyone, she be a little less American seeming, especially because her her parents are his whole family is a little bit suspicious of him just running off to marry an American. So later on, as Emily and Kobe are trying to better organize baby clothes for the trip, they continue their conversation about what to expect once they get to Cameroon. Emily is nervous, just like pretty much everybody when they're meeting on this show, especially when they're meeting a new family. New family members, are they going to accept me? Are they going to like me? And then he's like, it's fine. It doesn't matter what they think. I think you're the best. So all good things. So the next day they go. They have to drive to Kansas City, fly to Detroit, blah, 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 blah. They get to the airport. The kids are already running around crazy in the airport. So yeah. I definitely feel for everybody trying to corral them. And then we leave before they even get on the plane. We leave them before they even get on the plane. All right. So, I mean, I'm kind of excited for this one, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like this is a couple we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah.
Doing something that we haven't seen them do, which is two things that are the bonus for this show, right?
Sure. Like same old, same old. Yeah, it is kind of nice to see the other countries, which we don't really get in this show really hardly at all. It's like if you want to see another country, it's like the other way or before the 90 days.
For sure. Yes.
So, yeah. Yeah. So I'm interested a little bit. I just, to be honest, I find them to be kind of boring, which is why sure. I think we haven't seen them for a while. They're not like terrible or anything like that. They're just kind of boring and okay. So I don't know, but they are doing something adventurous. And I mean, mm-hmm. and spoiler alert, like she just gave birth to their third. So maybe they'll cover her pregnancy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely I said the first thing we're going to cover because that's always the way these shows go, right? Especially yeah. AGA is I sometimes are like, well, let's try this. That didn't have legs. Let's try this. That didn't have legs. And right. I feel like other couples get it worse. I feel like every time they've been on a little while and we're going to talk about them later. Every time we have Jasmine and Gino on, yeah. it's always like, remember how many storylines we went through in this one season? Like,
yeah, yeah, definitely. Okay, so let's move on to a couple that we saw more recently, and that's Sophie and Rob. And I was actually kind of excited because we find out pretty early on that there's trouble in paradise. So Sophie is hanging out with her best friend Kay in Austin, Texas. She tells us she was living in LA with her husband Rob, but the first year hasn't been what she expected. Sophie says that what attracted her to Rob at the beginning was his love of animals. Sophie just really bonded with his weird love. Now she is living in Austin with Kay, but without Rob. Sophie says that she found out after she moved here that Rob was not the person she was imagining. Rob, is also in Austin, Texas, and he says that he's married for now. Rob tells us that he really liked Sophie's sincerity. He says that the 90-day visa was just extra stressful on their relationship. He also admits that he online cheated before Sophie came to America. Rob tells us that shortly after the wedding, he, Sophie, and his dog Rome all moved to Austin and expanded their family with 6 tarantulas. But after a few months, the fighting was just too much, and Sophie moved in with her new friend in Austin. Rob hasn't seen Sophie in 2 months and doesn't feel like they're really married. Sophie was hoping that Austin would be a fresh start. Rob got a mysterious text which prompted Sophie to dig through his social media and realize that Rob was talking to way more girls than he's ever admitted to. Rob thinks that Kay is disrupting their marriage and that she's influencing Sophie's views. Rob is suspicious that Kay and Sophie are actually having some kind of relationship. Rob claims that Sophie is the love of his life and he's not ready to lose her. Sophie's meeting up with her mom, Claire, who is in town to visit her boyfriend, who also lives in Texas. Yeah. Sophie is happy to meet her mom's boyfriend, John. She feels like it's relieves a bit of pressure off her relationship with her mom now that her mom has someone. John admits that Claire has spoken very poorly of Rob. Claire tells us that Rob was actually very pleasant and nice when she first met him, but you know. Sophie insists that she still loves Rob and she's thinking about moving back in with him. Claire doesn't like this idea and she doesn't like him and says that he's just not good enough for her. Sophie defends his nice side. She thinks that their marriage is just in a weird spot. She wants to meet up with him soon to talk about it. Claire doesn't think meeting up is a good idea because there's still a lot of anger and tension and there's just bad energy. Sophie thinks that the time apart that they've had will actually help them. Sophie tells us then randomly, it kind of didn't really seem in any kind of context, about Claire's past substance abuse that has affected her. And Sophie says that she wants a stable and happy home and thinks that Rob could potentially provide that for her. Rob is nervous about meeting up with Sophie because it will really let him know if there's a future for them. He really hopes it goes well. And he knows that he needs to do things differently because he admits that he messed up and he needs to earn her trust and win her over. He's meeting her at a selfie gallery because he knows that she's always wanted to go to one and he wants to keep her happy. He wants to find common ground so she can be back in his life. Sophie is also not ready to give up on the relationship and she's actually been feeling guilty about waiting so long to reach out to him. Sophie says that she needs to know that he's not going to hurt her again. Rob hopes that they can put the past behind them and move forward. And he thinks anything other than her wanting to move back would mean that it is over. Sophie can't seem to hold it together in her interview as she sobs, not wanting to talk about their relationship. Sophie and Rob hug when they see each other, and Sophie jokes that she didn't recognize him. And Rob jokes that, has it been that long? And he also notes that the girls, Sophie's girls, are all lifted. Sophie feels butterflies, which she thinks seems to mean that they are a strong couple. Rob is feeling super nervous, too. They are being super playful as they take pictures of one another. Sophie thinks that when things are really good. Rob mentions that Sophie's wedding ring is at his house, and Sophie comments about how, you know, she's relieved that she thought she had lost it and noted that he isn't wearing his ring, and now he's walking around looking single. Rob argues that he's not trying to look like a fool since his new friends have never even met her. Sophie says that she moved out for peace. It ends up that a month after they were married, Sophie did a factory reset on his phone because of the suspicious message, and 4 years worth of messages were restored. She says that there were, quote, 50 bitches. Sophie thinks that he isn't taking accountability, and Rob says that they can't move forward and it's because Sophie can't trust him. Rob admits that he did lie about the conversations because they didn't mean anything and he was hoping to avoid conflict. Rob then apologizes about the conversations and Sophie says that he's just downplaying everything. Sophie says that he's putting it on for her moving out, putting it on her, you know, blaming her for moving out and not seeing his role in the whole thing. Rob says that he wants her to come home and Sophie says that she just doesn't see any change. Rob says he's apologizing and Sophie says that, you know, it doesn't really count if he keeps downplaying what he's happened. So there's really nothing to talk about. Mm-hmm. Okay, so are you surprised at all that they are separated this soon after?
This soon is aggressive. Like, did I think these people would end up staying married long term? No, absolutely not. But right, like, right. Did I think they wouldn't last a year before they were separated?
I mean, yeah. It's sounding like months. The timeline is a bit fuzzy because obviously they went to the tell-all and they were still together at the tell-all.
Well, I also was confused about the timeline with her hair, right? And the yes. tell-all. Like, her hair was platinum blonde again. Like, did she just right. have a temporary or was the tell-all after this? I don't know what's going on.
I was thinking that too because she even like kind of had said like, oh, I was only blonde because Rob wanted me to be blonde.
Right.
And now she's blonde again after the tell-all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're assuming this is after the tell-all.
Yeah,
and,
assuming.
Yeah, and so that was – I was like very confused about her hair, like very confused about the timeline of things going on here. So because like the factory reset story, which first of all, I didn't know that was a thing. Every time I factory reset my phone, I lose
– I know it's blank.
Yeah, I lose all of my messages that I've ever sent. You know, like, right. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I'm going to lose all these messages, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't know which world. Maybe – I don't know. Maybe it's
– maybe she loaded a backup or something, you know?
Like that's probably what happened. I imagine yeah. that. And it's like something – which means that he was – but I thought – I don't know. Can you delete – I don't even know what app it was, what you can delete messages off of.
Oh, no.
And it was like probably just resyncs from what was online instead of – and the other ones were just deleted off your phone, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. She seemed to know this was going to work. So
– yeah, right.
That's suspicious. Like everything's suspicious, right? So
– yeah.
But was she mad about that? Was it extra, more extra girls, like after they already had that blow up conversation and she was already there? Or was it just like when we had this big blow up, you told me it was like three or four girls, but it was like 30 girls, right?
Yeah. I mean, I do think there is a bit of a gray area. I don't think that they were, you know, this was happening when they were on the show, at least, right? Mm-hmm. But I think also the extent as to what kind of conversations he was having with them was probably played into it. Maybe even the timeline a little bit, like, because I think the thing was with the one that we knew about from their season was mm-hmm. that he was talking to them like when Sophie and Rob were together, but they weren't physically together because she wasn't here on the visa yet.
Right. Yes. Yes. That was I mean, I think it makes a few key differences. I don't mm-hmm. know. I kind of go the other way. If it was him during that time when she wasn't physically here yet, but they were already together.
Yeah.
Waiting for the visa. And of course, you know, he was just like, man's got to do what a man's got to do. Right.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
That's his attitude of it. Right.
Right. Well,
got to get released somehow. Right. Because that.
Okay, Igor.
Yeah. But like, I kind of feel like if you're only talking to one or two women, that's worse than just like if you're like, listen, I just spammed a bunch of women and tried to get whatever nudes I could get from them. Right. That seems worse than, no, I was cultivating a relationship with this one person or these two people. And like we made like – I talked to them every day and I did this and like that. That seems more like cheating than just being like
– that is a good question. Like what's worse, 50 or two?
Right. And it seems worse that it's 50, but it's like – you know, because that's like you did it, the thing you weren't supposed to do. You did 50 times, but it makes it seem like, because I'm sure his same thing. Well, it didn't mean anything, right? It's more believable that it didn't mean anything if you just sent the same message to 50 different people. Like, and you're just like, well, let me see which one. I'm going to throw it out there and see which one bites versus if you like are cultivating it with one person.
Right. But I also feel like you could feign more ignorance. Right. If it's like, oh, you didn't do the same mistake 50 times over, you know, it's like, oh, I don't know. She messaged me. I just like was messaging back. It's like, OK, but now you're cultivating like 50 relationships here.
Yeah. And that it certainly depends on how much back and forth was there with the 50. It's like this is a lot of work to be going back and forth with 50 different people. Like that seems like you're putting a lot of effort into like getting your rocks off. That just seems that's where it gets hairy. And the other thing that gets hairy is how Rob is the worst apologizer in the history of everybody.
Oh, he really is so bad. Like his is like, I'm sorry that you feel that way. You know, it's always like on
it's
someone
not
else.
Even I'm sorry that you feel that way. It's I'm sorry, but here's why I'm right anyway.
Yeah.
Like by here's why that's not a big, why I shouldn't even have to be sorry. Right. Because it was to the point where at some point, you know, they started bickering and he yells out, but I'm trying to apologize. I literally was like, this is him. I literally out loud said, wait, this is him trying to apologize? I didn't even realize this was an apology that he's throwing out here. I thought this was just excuses. Like, what?
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised that they're in where they are right now. And quite honestly, like, I just don't really even see any recovery. It does seem like everybody in Sophie's camp is like anti-Rob.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then on top of that, Sophie, I feel like she genuinely went in with the idea that she was going to make up with Rob. Because, I mean, she even told her mom, like, I'm thinking about moving back in with him. You know, and it's kind of like without feeling it out, without having a discussion with him, maybe he doesn't mm-hmm. even want you to move back in. Like,
right.
She didn't even know. But I kind of felt like that was her plan to begin with. And now it's like, oh, no, I remember this guy like has no remorse for what he did. It's going to happen again. So I just I don't see how they're going to move forward.
Right. And then I feel like I feel also that there's this asymmetry between how they interact with their friends around the situation, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, your friends all have it out for me. You're always talking about me and blah, 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 blah. My friends don't even know anything. How am I supposed to think? It's like, well, whose fault is it that your friends don't know anything, Rob?
Yeah.
Like, who was it that was Sophie supposed to tell them about you? Like, what? How are they supposed to know about it besides you telling him, right? And so it's just examples of him complaining about situations that he makes and saying how it's unfair. Like, no, it's not.
I don't think we've ever had a happily ever after where the couple was not actively together. And it kind of makes me wonder a little bit, like, is this going to be their storyline the entire time? The will they or won't they? Or at some point, are they just going to break up? And now this has become the single life meets happily ever after, where we see Sophie, you know, really trying to explore her bisexual side, and Rob just trying to, like, lock it down with one of these 50 bitches he's been messaging.
No, I think my opinion is Sophie's going to just decide Rob's going to do absolutely nothing to change her mind. And she's going to decide that, well, you know, we're married and it's worth a chance to give him another try, even though he did absolutely nothing to earn that other try. And they'll be back together, at least temporarily.
It's so sad, but I feel like Sophie doesn't require all that much. She doesn't have super high standards when it comes to, like, apologies and forgiveness, right? Just at her, just be like, I'm really sorry I hurt you. Like, that's all she wants.
And then he says, I'm sorry, whatever. But then he just can't shut up and just leave it at that.
Yeah. And so he, like, ruins it. And so that's how they – but, like, if he just showed a little bit.
That's also because when he says, I'm sorry, if the next thing you say back isn't, I'm also sorry, he's mad.
God. Yeah.
Right? That's and ridiculous. Then that starts a fight. Whether or not you should be sorry or not, he's going to do that.
Yeah.
All right. So moving along for other people who – I don't know. I feel like we haven't seen these people in a while. Nicole and Mahmoud, right? Yeah. So Nicole is out of Egypt and back in L.A. and she's out shopping for pajamas for Mahmoud. That's where we run into her. So it really leans into how much of their story is about clothes. It was heavily clothes, 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 clothes. And this time it's – Mahmoud's clothes that aren't meeting the standards. So she's back in Egypt. Mahmoud would just wear his street clothes, whatever he was wearing out in the day. He just went to bed in that. And sometimes it was like scratchy sweaters and, like, you know, jeans and things. And she's just like, this is not comfortable to snuggle, whatever. So when he comes to the States, I'm gonna get him some pajamas. And he's coming to the States very soon because his visa got approved and he's moving here. So she reminds us of the backstory about how she met him during his spiritual journey in Egypt, and they only spent one day together before he proposed long distance. And then she went back to Cairo a month later and they got married. So a whirlwind, very quick things. So she has since then made about two attempts to live in Egypt now. She's moved to Egypt with intentions to stay there and then move back. There were just too many strict rules, again, specifically about their clothes, and then we are shown flashbacks of her wearing the burkini and making a really sad face in the locker room.
Yeah.
So we also saw flashbacks from the last time they were on where there were blowout fights. But she thinks that him moving it to America is actually the one thing they haven't tried. So they owe each other and the relationship that. So then we bounce over to Egypt where we catch Mahmoud packing for his flight. So we see more flashbacks and he tells us about how he's nervous about moving to the U.S. because he knows it's going to be a culture shock. He knows it's going to be different. He doesn't know anybody there besides Nicole, but he's willing to leave everything he loves just to be with her. So after he packs, he sits down and say goodbye to his mother and they both cry since this is the first time he's really going to be away from his family. So mom really hoped they could make it work in Egypt, but understands that Egypt was just not for Nicole. And so he leaves while talking about how hard it is. And then while he's talking in the cab, they're really leaning into some dramatic shots of, like, his father getting smaller in the cab window as they pull away. So then later on, we see Nicole putting together her airport welcome sign. She hopes that being away from his family will help them connect better because she feels like the family kind of got in the way, especially since they were living with them. But she notes that he's going to have to find a place that he can fit in the U.S. So in the mirror, she's taking a look at her outfit before she goes to the airport because, again, this entire story is about clothes. And she's like, you know, there's a little bit of a midriff showing and I don't think it's going to be an issue. And, you know, I'm compromising because there's a little bit of my ankle showing, a little bit of my lower leg and a little stomach, but it's mostly covered up. So she is nervous about everything, but she wants this to work. And he's already on the plane and she's leaving for the airport, 2 hours, whatever, they'll be together. So she comes to the airport with her sign and starts looking for him. And then we cut the episode off as she sees him and starts to sprint through the airport with him. So I guess Would you think it would be easier? You know, she tried Egypt, right?
Yeah.
Do we think him coming to America is going to be easier? Is he going to have an easier time finding a place to fit in America than she did in Egypt?
Yeah, I think so, because there's like diversity here. You know, sure. Like in Egypt, I think where he was specifically, there wasn't as much diversity. And didn't she like meet up with like that yoga teacher or something?
Yeah, the one who came in and told him, he's like, like, you live in the weird part of Cairo. It's right. Super conservative. Why don't you live over here where she can be a normal person? He's like, no, absolutely not. You slut.
Yeah.
Like,
so yes, I think where, you know, they were wasn't super diverse. But I mean, it should be interesting because he seems to claim like, oh, I'm okay with you doing all of these things. But, you know, you can't do those things because we're going to get in trouble. Like society does not allow it.
Yeah, we'll be judged in society. Yeah, for sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so it's like now we'll kind of see how culturally ingrained that is into like what he thinks is right and wrong. Like, will he accept her? So, I mean, like I said, he claims that's what it is. And so if you take him at face value, yeah, Nicole should be able to wear whatever she wants and not have to think too much on it. Now, that doesn't mean to like shock the shit out of him when he first sees her, you know, but like a little bit of skin, you know, that's tastefully done is a nice way to test the waters.
Yeah. To see if it's a little bit anything, something that would be by all American accounts considered a rather conservative outfit in terms of cover up. Right.
Yeah.
But to him would be pushing the boundaries, if not over the line in Egypt. Right. That's a good thing.
Right.
You're not going in there with Jasmine's bikini. Right.
Oh,
that's
God.
Not.
Oh, God.
We'll talk about that later. I'm sure.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
But right. Yeah. Yeah. But it's one of those things. It's just so weird. And I understand the concern if you're ignorant of it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But to being like, I don't know where I'm going to find a mosque. It's like, you don't know where you're going to find a mosque in LA.
Yeah.
Like, I think you'll be fine, buddy. Like,
right. Like, right. Yeah. Because I'm sure he kind of thinks just based on her that Americans are a bunch of heathens. You know,
yes,
why on earth would we ever have a mosque anywhere in the U.S.?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked to find out that for him to be like, you know, surprised by like how many Muslims there are.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But I think that a lot of them, we've seen it before, specifically when we had, you know, Yvette and the other guy from Egypt.
Oh, right, right.
Right. Where he's just like, is this even really Muslim? You guys are like, what? Like, you know, like, does this even count? Like, what are you guys doing? And they're all like, dude, you're going to have to chill. Like, it's okay. You're just going to have to chill. But they're there. I mean, we know that they're there. There's mosques everywhere.
Right.
Like, all over the place.
That was Muhammad, right?
Yes. And it was even Muhammad. Yes.
Yeah.
That's
so
right.
He was from Egypt too, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That did not end well for anyone either.
No, it didn't. But it was like, but at the end of the day, like what we learned about that couple afterwards is he's like, oh, very, very controlling Muslim person, blah, 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 blah. And then they broke up and he was shacking up with all kinds of people. Like it was like not.
Okay. Let's not forget that he's the guy who seemed to think you could just transfer the visa. Oh, well, I'll find someone else to marry. And it's like, no, buddy, it doesn't work like that. You can't just like, you know, find the first available person to like marry and then you get your visa.
Yeah, but I mean, this is definitely, like I say, you're right. This is the time to see where if you know, his ass is going to cash the check that his mouth's been writing.
Right.
Right? I would be fine for it if it wasn't society. I'd be fine with this. And then now we're going to see when it's not society, how fine is he still with everything? Sure.
Right, right. All right, Tal, let's move on to Ashley and Manuel, another couple that we saw fairly recently. We start off with Manuel. And he's just talking to himself, saying, this woman is trying to kill me.
Oh, my God. They were just they tried to make it look like it was some sort of weird, like, sex torture that she was doing to him.
I don't know. There's a lot of sweating and, like, So we zoom out to see that Manuel's fine. He's just taking a spin class that Ashley is instructing. They've been married for a year at this point, and Ashley says that teaching spin is a side gig because she's primarily a witch and an astrologer. Manuel likes her commanding voice in class because it makes her seem like strong. They talk about the challenges in their relationship, including Manuel's closed-off nature, but Ashley says it's only him that she loves, so she'll deal with it. Later, Ashley and Manuel go to meet up with Ashley's family. She recognizes that Manuel misses his family so much, so she wants to put more effort into helping Manuel connect with her family. He says it actually stresses him out hanging out with her friends and family because his English isn't so great. Ashley says that if he learned English better, then he wouldn't be stressed. And he points out that his English-speaking wife doesn't actually help him learn English. Ashley then brings up the fact that she still has not met Manuel's family, specifically his kids, even though it's been a year of marriage. Ashley's mom, Stacy, asks if there's something she doesn't know. And then her mom asks if maybe they need to get a private detective. Crystal, Ashley's sister, thinks that they're both spiraling and it's not a big deal. So they then ask Manuel, instead of speculating, about why, you know, Ashley hasn't met his kids. Manuel says that he's open to her meeting his kids, but the reason why he hasn't done it is because he just didn't want to confuse them. Ashley asks, well, then when? And Manuel says, well, there's a lot of things going on in Ecuador, so, you know, maybe now is not such a good time. Stacy says that there needs to be trust, and Ashley thinks that she should be part of his kids' lives. She thinks that if Manuel can't open up, that their relationship will be doomed. Okay, so do you think that Manuel actually will have her meet his kids, like, virtually? Or is there always going to be something? Because, like, there's a lot of things going on in Ecuador. Like, I don't know. You mean civil unrest? Like, isn't that, like, always the case?
Not that always the case. It's like, especially bad right now. It's not Haiti bad, but it's not great in Ecuador, in Ecuador, from my understanding. There was definitely, like, pretty close to, like, Civil War level tough stuff going on, like, not that long ago. So
yeah, but how is meeting a potential stepmom, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like it's an excuse.
But it's one of those things that also, like, the longer you put this off, the more it raises the stakes.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, and at the end of it, at the end of the day, these children have a mother.
Yes.
Right? They have a father. They don't
kind of. Questionably. You know,
yes, questionably. But, like, it's not like she's going to have this huge role. But and it would be kind of silly of her to insist that she has this huge role.
Right.
As the mother-in-law who lives thousands and thousands of miles away in another country.
Right.
That's not really – like, yeah, should she meet them? Yes. Should she have met them before they got married? Yes. That's really weird, right?
Well, the only thing that I can think of is that Manuel hasn't told his kids that he even got married.
Yes,
right?
That could be true.
And probably because, like, he doesn't want it to seem like he's abandoned his children in Ecuador, right? Mm-hmm. And abandoned them in a situation that is not ideal because of all the civil unrest, you know? And, you know, you saying, I moved to America to get married, bye, like, that doesn't look, that's not a good look. So I can kind of see that, but it's like, what do his kids think he's doing in America? Do they even know he's in America? Do they think he's just working in another part of Ecuador like he kind of implied?
Yeah, and we don't know who's transferring. He says he talks to his kids a lot, so yeah. I mean, I know he's in America, but it would also be really weird for them to know that he's married and know that there's a stepmom involved, and have it be like, wouldn't the kids be like, well, where is she? Is she there with you?
Yeah,
like, you know?
Right. Like, and that's why I kind of feel like he hasn't said anything, because I would think that the kids would be like, well, who is she? And, like, have some kind of curiosity about meeting her. And I feel like if his kids were to ask to meet, you know, Ashley, that he would be more compliant than, you know, he is right now with Ashley asking to meet the kids.
You would think so, right? Well, yeah. And not even just Ashley. Ashley and her mom and sister ones who are butting in here and being like, "Whoa, hasn't you met the kids yet?" And he's like, "Why are you talking to me about this?"
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I feel like same old with them.
So far,
I mean, it wasn't even that long ago that we saw them, but same old. Like,
yeah, and we're already regurgitating on the, what is he hiding from? Is he hiding me from his family? Is there a secret? Like, yeah, that was like a main part of it last season.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just feel like it's going to continue to be the same. They're going to continue to bang it out, as she says.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I mean, it's going to continue to be the same because, as we said about this couple, they don't actually resolve their issues before deciding to move on from them. So guess what? It's going to be same old. It's going to come up again.
Yeah, that's true. Well, speaking of same old,
that leaves us with one more, and that's Jasmine and Gino. So Jasmine and Gino are back, and they're on some sort of body of water. So that means Jasmine is wearing I think it's like a 12-year-old's bathing suit that she just puts on her parts. Gigantic two bowling ball boobs that she has now.
Her boobs look so tortured.
They look – it looks like it hurts.
Painful. Yeah. It looks like her boobs are trying to like bust out of her chest. Like
it really does look if she twists too fast, it's just – her skin's just going to rip open. It's stretched to the limit.
Yeah.
And of course, this bathing suit is literally just – covering just
their nipple covers with strings.
That's it. It's a nipple cover with a string. Yeah. So they're on a small pontoon boat on a lake, which evidently is their honeymoon.
Oh gosh.
So we get to where we specifically are later. So she pictured something a little better than this, like being on a jotch, and then we have going back and forth a bunch of times before we realize that she means she thought she'd be on a yacht for her honeymoon. So he gives background on the relationship, which we really don't need given how often these people are on the show.
Yeah, right.
So while they're doing that in the interviews, Gino says that Jasmine has always been a jealous person, and it's actually getting worse. But they're married now, so Jasmine says only death can separate them. So back on the boat, Jasmine has a good an idea. Let's just have sex out here on this small boat, on this tiny lake, in front of everyone, because we're trying to make a baby. And I'm ovulating, so we have to do it tonight. Gino's like, I'm not against having sex and having the baby. I just don't want to do it out in the open in front of everyone. But he's ready for that at least because he brought lots of little blue pills. So, of course, this baby would not be Jasmine's first if she did manage to get pregnant. She has two kids in Panama that they're trying to bring over as soon as they can. So the next part of their honeymoon is – and I can't – this – is a very romantic camping trip. And
no, like not even, why?
Not even a not glamping, not a like remote like hiking thing for somebody who likes the outdoor. It's just a KOA regular ass camping site with people everywhere. And the lady there says that they're literally the first people to do a honeymoon there.
Yeah. That should tell you everything.
Oh, and by the way, this is where we find out they didn't even leave Michigan. They're in Michigan for all that. Their honeymoon is in Michigan. So the man gives them a tour of the site, complete with the stall showers that Jasmine thinks is going to give her an infection and a lake that she thinks is going to be full of crocodiles. So they get to their spot, and Jasmine is already done with camping, but she's still willing to stick it out if Gino wants to make a baby tonight. So then they're there, and they almost fail to – they try to put up this tent. I have this tent. I have that exact tent. It is so easy to put up. It's ridiculous.
Oh, gosh.
You literally extend the legs and then twist and pull up in the middle and it's done. It's the fact that you struggle with it is very concerning. So then they're roasting marshmallows, which is a first for Jasmine, who thinks she should eat it like a corn cob.
Yeah,
and they sit in the peace and quiet that Gino loves. And Jasmine brings up her desire to have a bigger house. Like that's the time. She's like, you know what? Let's talk about this. I want a bigger house. My kids are coming. We're trying to get pregnant. We need – and, of course, the most important part, I don't want to live in a house that you lived in with your ex.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
The only way to make that happen, though, is for Gino to get a job again. Remember, he quit his job for her. And
I don't know. It's starting to seem like it wasn't for her.
Yeah. So
he
now
just
they're
doesn't
living,
want to work.
They're living on Gino's savings, and so they got to be really financially conscious. So she thinks – they can be financially conscious once they have a bigger house, and that will fix everything. So she doesn't understand. He kind of says like, well, maybe if you were pregnant, it would be a different thing. She's like, I don't understand why that makes a difference. Why? Mm-hmm. And part of that is because she's told us that in the past she has had trouble getting pregnant and that the big issue is one of Gino's previous relationships broke up because of pregnancy troubles. So – I guess I would start there with the pregnancy troubles.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the reason she thinks she might have trouble getting pregnant is because she's still on birth control?
Oh, God.
And that makes it difficult to get pregnant.
Well, I'm going to hope that she understands how this works and that she is going to get off of birth control. And that was like her big announcement of we're trying, you know, is like her getting off of birth control.
Yeah. I just don't know if that was a lie and she's still on birth control. That's what I was getting at.
But I do feel like she's being incredibly manipulative here. She knows that she's had troubles and And the thing is I would just say she's being insecure, but I don't know. Maybe it is grounded in reality if Gino is saying that that's the reason why him and his ex-wife, like, broke up, you know, like, it's because she couldn't give him a child like he wanted. And, you know, that's like a legit concern then if there's like history and precedent there that he wants a child so badly that he's willing to, you know, give up his relationship for it. So then I would probably be very nervous about being truthful, too. But it's like she's like, I feel like she's just being really manipulative and almost like trying to trick him into doing things like getting a bigger house because it's contingent on, you know, her getting pregnant.
Right. And that's why I'm worried. So it's contingent on her getting pregnant and she knows that's not going to happen because there's a few things that are happening here, right? That are I think of interest. One is with the plastic surgery specifically, right? She did not spend all that money on BBL
for sure.
And a boob job and a tummy tuck and everything else just to get pregnant and
Ruin it all to the shit,
yeah. Right?
They tell you that you need to get that stuff done after you're done having kids because it really just messes you up, messes up the job. It like it's almost like it didn't happen.
We talked about her boobs. Now imagine those boobs get like, you know, bigger when she's pregnant, right?
Yeah. Oh, I feel like she would like be bursting out of the nipples. Like it's so
and
bad.
Let's go back. And then also going back, it does seem between talking about the bigger house that he can't afford and being financially stable and some of what we saw in the preview, like this is a lot of money. And this is a woman who has spent at least $20,000-$25,000 in the past couple of years on plastic surgeries.
Yeah.
Right. And then they're going to be like, well, I try. And especially that's the part, especially when it comes up with the money for the kids. It'd be like, well, I needed my kids here so much. It was like, apparently needed that less than a BBL.
Yeah, that was really concerning. So you're referring to the preview because they kind of did a coming up this season. So it's not just even the next episode. They're trying to tease the entire season. They talked about how, you know, he needs $5,000 for lawyer fees to, you know, get the visa paperwork for her kids. And he's saying that he just simply can't afford that right now. And it is like very concerning. It's like, well, what have you been spending your other money on then? Because it's like, you know, we know he gave her $10,000. Or $5,000 for the wedding dress. First of all, $5,000 for a wedding dress is like certainly something you could dial back on because weren't they even talking about in the tell-all that's in the basement anyway? Who cares?
Yeah. Like, oh, I know a bunch of people who are like, I know how much wedding dresses cost and I want to look pretty.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to spend that much money for something that I wear once.
Right.
And it's – but it's just the money is I'm sure we'll get to it in a future episode, but it's just that's everything they do is she comes up with this brand new thing, says it's a priority. I need to do this before we can do anything else when she already had like four priorities.
Yeah.
Right. It's very hard for me to say I put my children first and I do everything for my children. They're number one. They're the most important thing, but I need a best boob job and a BBL and a bigger house. And I need like. I think before, and then we're going to deal with all that before we figure out how we're getting to the U.S., right?
Right,
it's like,
right.
That said, what the shit was this honeymoon?
Yeah.
Like, this is the kind of thing that it's like, oh, wow, we forget about it. Gino's an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to take her to Miami on just some rando trip, you know, where she loved it. She loved everything about that vacation. And now that you're married. And it's supposed to be a more special occasion than some rando trip. Oh, let's go camping. It's like if you had just hung out at home, I feel like and had like a backyard bonfire, that would have been more desirable to Jasmine than whatever situation you got going on.
And Jasmine would have been down with a good glamping site, right?
Yeah.
If you had the lights and the thing and the fire was already made and there were pillows and everything, and, you know, the amenities in there, she'd have been down with that. But this is and it does. I struggle to see it as not a like, let me show you who's in charge in this relationship right now.
Okay. Interesting take. Yeah.
Right. Kind of a it's kind of a power move. It's kind of a it's either a power move or you're literally playing a practical joke on your wife as a honeymoon.
Well, third option, which is probably even worse than those. I am oblivious that this will not make you happy.
That can't be true.
That's what I'm saying.
No
like, if that's the option,
he's that dumb
like,
that he thought she was going to enjoy a camping trip at a random chain of campground sites. There's no way he
thought
that.
If that is the third option, like, they are doomed because he will never make her happy.
That's
because he's so completely unaware.
Yeah, that to me is less believable than than I thought it was hilarious that I took her someplace she didn't want to go. That's funny to me. I think it's more likely because that who can be that oblivious? Because if you gave her her option, said, hey, we don't have it for a honeymoon now. We'll go to Jamaica next summer, right? Next fall, whatever, in a year. She'd be like, okay, that's fine. Like, she'd rather have that than camping now.
Oh,
for sure.
Yeah. Well, if you're camping, like, why can't you have it all? Because camping is pretty cheap.
Yeah. I mean, camping is relatively cheap. It's cheap. I mean, it's pretty cheap. But you make up for it with effort, right?
Yeah.
Camping is way more effort than it is to stay at any hotel or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But if you appreciate the effort and you have fun doing the effort, then that's what you do. You go camping.
Yeah. Okay. So we have more couples this season. We got a bit of a preview. We've got Ed and Liz. We've got Angela and Michael. I know, Ed and Angela. It's like, just stop it and get married to each other and quit torturing everyone else.
But just do it or break up. It sounds like it's going to – but I don't know. He just is the worst, and he's never going to be happy with anything. He's the worst.
Yeah. So we got those two couples. Did we see anyone else who's coming
up? Angela and Michael.
Yes. Angela and Michael, Ed and Liz.
I thought we had some – Patrick and Thais.
Oh, right. So they'll be kind of normal-ish. I wonder almost if they would take over for – what's
for
that?
Sophie and Rob when they break up.
I feel
maybe.
Like they're just – if they end up breaking up, they're just not going to be – or if they don't have another storyline, I just don't see them having a whole lot of screen time.
Yeah. I mean, unless they get back together like pretty
quickly. But then
quickly.
Even then, they'd have to have another storyline. And this one seems kind of major. Oh. Like, what other – you can't milk this. You maybe sort of cheated like years ago. How long can you milk that storyline for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and we skip the ones that are going to be the most normal. That's going to be Alexi and Lauren.
Oh, right. Okay. Fan favorites. Arguably. But
yeah. But they're going to be relatively new. There's not going to be, you know, crazy, possibly arresting people. Alexa, stop.
How funny your Alexa just started because it heard Alexi and Lauren.
Yes, that is correct. Uh-huh. That is exactly what happened.
Oh, stupid Alexa.
So, yeah. But yeah, it's not going to be cheating and no one, let's put it that way, that's one where I can guarantee no one is getting a drink thrown in their face.
Oh gosh, right? Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, so out of the group we saw this week, who was your student of the week?
I said Kobe.
Okay.
Because, he's excited for going home. He's trying to, I feel like he's gently nudging people where they need to be and not being like, my mom is a terrible, scary person that you're never going to get the approval of. And he's just like, here's some of the things you can do. And also he's still game. It's a tough situation that they're still in.
Yeah.
To be the son-in-law in that situation. And, he's doing okay so far from what we've seen.
Yeah, that's funny because I actually went with Emily. It seems like she's trying to maintain a happy relationship, try to get that, I'm a wife and not just a mother side, as painful as that was to kind of slowly watch that unravel. But, that's nice. And then she's like, bringing the kids to Cameroon so, they can meet the rest of the family. So,
I don't envy having to take those two kids on that long of a trip with multiple plane switches. That sounds awful.
Yeah, definitely.
And that literally sounds worth paying mom and dad to come with you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. How about your dunce?
So I said Gino.
Okay.
Based on how you have to be dumb, mean, or vindictive to take her on a honeymoon at a campsite, right? And then also to kind of play dumb. Like, I also am like that. He's the one that wants the kids.
Yeah.
So needing a bigger than a one bedroom, two bedroom house when you have possibly three kids in it.
Yeah, right.
like reasonable, and yeah, it's kind of weird that
for
he's
once
bringing that as an unreasonable like request. Yeah. Of all the unreasonable requests she's had, this one isn't really one of them.
Yeah. So it's funny. I actually went Jasmine for dunce.
I mean, I could have made that argument too.
Right. Sure. And the reason why I went with Jasmine is just because like this whole like she might have a difficult time getting pregnant. I just find that's incredibly manipulative, you know, like not telling Gino what the entire truth is and like
sure,
trying to act like, you know, like this baby's going to have. And, you know, who knows? Like, maybe, you know, she gets pregnant right away and that this is all kind of a moot point, but it's like, but she doesn't think that. And so to behave the way that she's behaving, demanding the thing that she's demanding, you know, when she knows that this could be a challenge, I just think is really manipulative.
Yeah. I mean, you're right in that it's that it is, we always go for people and been like, you withholding information that the other person, you know, the other person eventually mm-hmm. needs to have. Just because you're afraid how well they'll react is taking the agency out of their hands.
Right. And that actually brings me to my life lesson. And this was, I was really thinking of Manuel when I was thinking about this, was there is no good time to bring news to someone, right? There's always, you could arguably always have an excuse to keep or withhold information. So you just got to bite the bullet and do it. And then also what was weird to me about the whole Manuel situation is, how is this bad news? So I still didn't understand like why he felt yeah, like, you know, he can't tell his kids now, like don't want to pile on like news with everything that's going on. It's like, how is you being married or you having or them having a new stepmom, how is that bad news?
Yeah, that is interesting. I'm surprised that the mom and Aunt Ashley didn't really grab onto that. Wait, yeah, why am I bad news?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, how about your life lesson?
So my life lesson was more to Sophie and Rob. Don't go to a fun place to have a fight.
Oh, gosh. I know, right?
Like, I'm just imagining the other people at this selfie museum just waiting to take a picture in that stupid phone booth.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there having like a, I told you I didn't fuck those women. And I'm just trying to like, oh, my God. Like, take this somewhere else, people.
Yeah, definitely.
Killing everybody else's vibe.
Right, right. Okay, so we will be back again this same – oh, wait. Today's Tuesday.
Today is Tuesday,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, we will be back on Monday next week.
Yes.
So, yeah, until then.
All right. See everybody then.
All right. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Good.